Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com, a free Bible teaching ministry. I am Pastor Greg Miller, and all of our video and audio messages can be found at BBFOhio.com and can be heard on our 24-hour internet radio station at BBFOhioRadio.com, where we invite you to visit and learn the King James Bible with us.
I want you to look at that phrase, and we'll read it in the text again, but verse 2, drunk with the wine of her fornication. But I want to read verse 2, we'll review the text and get in here. Read verse 2 with me. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. The fornication starts with the fact that the Vatican cult, and that's what it is, it preaches a false gospel. And that's where the fornication starts. And that's why she's able to fornicate. People say, well, how, Chrislam, I mean, they say that Allah is God and Muhammad is his prophet, peace be upon him, blah, blah, blah. Well, how can they say that and join up with, I'm here to tell you, it's not intellectual, folks. You can't figure it out intellectually. It's spiritual. And they are of the same spirit, even though they have killed each other through the years. Understand that Satan is the father of lies, and he is here to kill and destroy. And so he wants these lies to stay away from the truth. And if he kills them, he succeeds in keeping them from the truth. If they're dead, they can't convert. But if they also, if they're not at each other killing each other, but they believe these false gospels, and they overlook or just look through or past these differences and join together, then they are also still kept away from the truth. And when it says drunk with the wine of her fornication, that's, these people are intoxicated with unbelief. They're intoxicated with it. It starts with preaching false gospels like this thing called the sacrament of salvation that the Roman Catholic Church teaches. This is taken right from the Vatican website that I showed you in our previous study. And it says, sacrament of salvation, celebrated worthily in faith, the sacraments confer the grace that they signify. They are efficacious, it says, because in them Christ himself is at work. These, we're talking about the sprinkling of the baby. We're talking about the eating of the wafer and the wine and the mass. That's the sacrament of mass. That's how they're saved. That's what it's saying. Grace comes through those works in the Vatican cult. Wow. It's deception. It's blasphemous. The only thing you get grace from is faith in the gospel.
Right. Amen.
That's not only to be saved, that's everything you do in your life, every day of your life. When you wake up in the morning and you look up to God and you pray and He hears you, that's grace. You don't deserve to be heard. And that's grace. Why does He listen to you? Why does He hear you? Because He looks down and He sees the blood of His Son. Not the fact that you were baptized or, you know, the sacrament of offerings, you know, the sacrament of Wednesday night church service, whatever your sacrament is. It's not, that doesn't do anything as far as grace. And getting grace from God. That's what they're teaching, the opposite. It says, begin here. It is he who baptizes, he who acts in his sacraments in order to communicate the grace that each sacrament signifies. The Father always hears the prayer of his Son's church. See that? In the epiclesis of each sacrament expresses her faith. That's where they put in the church between you and God. Look at this second quote. This is, they're different like sections. This is section 1128 under chapter 4 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It says, this is the meaning of the church's affirmation that, this, look at this, in bold, the sacraments act ex operato, literally means by the very fact of the actions being performed, by virtue of the saving work of Christ accomplished for all. They're saying that Jesus died on the cross so that you can take part in these sacraments and those sacraments can save you. Now, folks, that's really what all false religion teaches. All false Christian cults teach that Jesus died to kind of clean your slate so that now you can serve the cult and go to heaven by your works. Anybody who teaches you that you can lose your salvation is teaching that. Yeah. They're teaching you that you're saved by faith in the gospel, but then after that, you've got a clean slate. Now you got to work. Now you got to do something. You got to persevere. Yeah. And people say that they're talking about Calvinism. Calvinists teach grace. No, they don't. Mm-hmm. Calvinists don't teach grace. Calvinists teach that if you don't persevere, you're not one of the elect. So that means that right now, 2014, if you live to be to the year 2030, then until then, you don't know if you're saved. You can't know because you have to persevere to 2030 and die before you can know you're saved. Every false version of Christianity teaches that same thing. It goes on, it follows that the sacrament is not wrought by the righteousness of either the celebrant or the recipient, but by the power of God. From the moment that a sacrament is celebrated in accordance with the intention of the church, the power of Christ and His Spirit acts in and through it. See, it's all got to come through a legitimate priest from the legitimate mother church. And it's only by doing those that you can be saved. Folks, you're looking at the reason for the Dark Ages. The people were kept so confused and unable to understand, and they weren't given Bibles, and most of them weren't taught. I'm telling you, everywhere the Roman Catholic Church has ruled, there's illiteracy. Yeah. They have their token seminaries and their token schools, but the population at large is kept dumb. Because they can control you if you don't read that book. They can keep you from reading it by keeping you illiterate, or they can keep it out of your hands, or they can give you a corrupt version. Three ways that they can keep you blind for them to take effect. And this is my last quote from this. But look what it says. And this is chapter 11, 29. The church affirms that for believers, the sacraments of the new covenant are necessary for salvation. You can't get any more plain than that. Salvation is not of works. Here's just a refresher course for Bible believers here. Read verses 3 and 4 out of Titus 3 with me. It's actually verses 4 and 5 out of Titus 3. Read it with me. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Look at the verse 6. Which He shed on us abundantly through the sacrament. I'm sorry.
Why? You have the wrong version.
Yes. Read again. Which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Haven't seen anything about sacraments yet. Okay, well, let's read another verse here. No, that's not. No mention of sacraments anywhere in the Bible. And if you even interpret that in some way that it matches like communion or whatever, still never has anything to do with salvation. Paul tells us all about communion. We've read right from that text and we've taken communion. And it doesn't mention it being a sacrament or helping to save. Look what it says. This is the gospel. Ed referred to this earlier. 1 Corinthians 15. Mark this in your Bible. Put a little earmark it or whatever. Memorized. And if you haven't got it memorized, have it ready to open up and read to somebody. But start tomorrow memorizing it as best you can. And listen, folks. Really, we'll show you it comes down to just a couple of verses you really need to memorize to get the gospel. Because this is an introduction. Verses 1 and 2 are an introduction where Paul says, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. I'm not going to get into a doctrinal dissertation about that. But verse 3 is where you really get into the meat now. Now read it with me. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. And I add that last verse, verse 5, because I'm going to go into verse 6. Read that. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. I add that last part, and if you're able to talk to somebody about it, you can tell them. There's references to the people who saw Jesus, and nobody in that day and age gave any evidence that that wasn't true. Nobody tried to refute those claims. If it was going to be refuted, it would have been done when it happened. Those Paul is saying some of them have fallen asleep by this time he wrote 1 Corinthians about 3 or 4 decades later. But a lot of those 500 were still alive, and he's basically saying, go talk to them. Go talk to the eyewitnesses. Attorneys will back me up on this. How many eyewitnesses does it take to put you behind bars for life?
Today?
In the state of Ohio, one.
Yeah.
According to the Mosaic Law, in the mouth of 2 or 3, let his thing be established.
Yeah.
You need 3 at the most anywhere on the planet. He had more than 500, not counting all the apostles and others that saw him. And any of those people could have gone back. And if they'd had a trial back then, there's no way they could have disproved his resurrection. Legally, could not have been done. This is serious business. Those who preach another gospel are cursed. You preach another gospel. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, read it. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. What about them? But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. It's once enough for God to say that to you, but he says it again. This is so serious and so important that God has Paul repeat the curse in verse 9. Read it. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now, I think Ed just said something about this is the gospel of the grace of God. It's not the gospel preached to Adam and Eve. It's not the gospel preached to Noah. It's not the gospel preached to Moses. It's not the gospel Moses preached. It's not the gospel of John the Baptist. It's not the gospel of the 144,000 in the tribulation. It's not the everlasting gospel of Revelation 14. It's not the gospel of the millennial kingdom. It is the gospel of the grace of God in this dispensation. Right here and now, if you preach you must endure to the end, you're preaching tribulation gospel and you're cursed. Right now, if you preach, keep the Sabbath and the law to be saved like the Seventh-day Adventists down the road, you're cursed. Wrong, wrong dispensation. Wrong age. Amen.
Amen.
Well, the Catholic Church preaches a gospel of works, a gospel of law, their own law, and they're cursed. The Vatican cult also presents a false Jesus. A lot of people don't realize this white dude is not our Savior. Now, he wasn't black. He wasn't a redhead Irishman. You know, you come up with your different versions. He was a Jew in the Middle East. He probably had dark hair. He probably had very dark suntan skin from being out in the sun all the time walking. He probably looked nothing like any of the pictures of Jesus, so-called, that you see. But here's the thing. This guy you see, Pope Alexander VI, wanted to destroy the idea of a Jewish Messiah. The Roman Catholic Church is totally anti-Semitic, and they teach that Israel is no longer Israel, the church has replaced Israel, and they tried to teach that Jesus wasn't even Jew. I mean, how do you get there? Insanity. But that's what they're trying to teach. So what did they do? Well, Pope Alexander VI... got a hold of that Leonardo da Vinci and commissioned him to come up with a Jesus based on his own son.
Wow.
Cesare Borgia. And so the Jesus on everybody's wall is a false Jesus. It's the Roman Catholic false white dude.
Wow.
And it's based on the son of a pope. Wait a minute. Have any of you, I haven't heard you ask yet. Did you hear me? It's based on the picture of a son of a pope. Did you ever notice popes weren't supposed to have children? It's like, oh yeah, good point. You ever get a chance to read the history of the popes? Those are some of the most wicked men on earth. A lot of them were raping nuns and having kids, raping little boys like you see in the news now. It's just incredible. They said they had orphanages full of the children of the priests and the popes in Rome. You don't hear this stuff preached in the churches today, and that's why the church is dying.
Yeah.
People should know this stuff.
Yeah.
I sat for about 10 years in church and never heard any of this.
Yeah.
Not at all. We'd go through Bible prophecy and everything. Wouldn't even bring it up. Wouldn't that have been good information?
Yes.
Well, you got it now.
About time.
Hey, Johnny. Now here's what the Bible says about this other Jesus, all the way back to the very beginning when Paul was writing the book of Corinth, and 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Now, that's the opposite of what you just saw in the catechism. Verse 4, read it with me. "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another Spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. And that day has come. And now, you're not supposed to judge. You're not supposed to put down someone else's religion. You're not supposed to tell somebody they're wrong if they're sincere.
Yes.
Satan says that.
Uh-huh.
I don't care if it's your grandmother. She's quoting Satan and not God. How many of you heard this? If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. Now, I'm not... John, don't start calling people names or anything. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, there's a time to say something that's not nice.
Amen. I agree.
And there's something wrong with people who think that Jesus, who didn't say nice things a lot of the time, John the Baptist didn't say nice things a lot of the time, the Apostle Paul didn't say nice things a lot of the time.
Amen.
God Almighty doesn't say nice things. If you don't know that, you haven't been reading your Bible.
Amen.
If you don't think that you should speak bad things against sin and against error, against false gospels, there's something wrong with your thoughts. You need to conform your thoughts to His thoughts.
Yeah.
And your ways to His ways.
Amen.
I'm telling you, this is what's killing churches right now.
Yeah.
Is nothing is ever challenged except for stupid things like what color the carpet's going to be. But when a preacher can get up and preach stupid things like Calvinism and stupid things like an ESV translation and stupid things like speaking in tongues and stupid things like holy laughter and stupid things like psychology.
Yeah.
You're going to replace the Spirit-filled life and what the Bible says about living the Spirit-filled life with love yourself. You can't love others until you love yourself. That's not Bible. You know what the Bible says? Die. Did you know that?
Amen.
The Bible says die to self.
Amen.
Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as thyself. It doesn't say love your neighbor like you love yourself. It's saying, love your neighbor the way you really want to love yourself, and you're given over to that if you don't put some reins on it.
Yeah.
Amen. It's natural for you to love yourself because you've got a sin nature.
Yeah.
Your sin nature drives you to love yourself. What the Spirit of Christ comes you in you, and no longer does self even matter. You do everything you do. People say, well, if you don't love yourself, you won't take care of yourself. Yes, you will, because you're loving God and you want to please Him. And God said to take care of yourself. You see, if the motive's wrong, you can do the right thing and it's still not pleasing to God. If you're going to take care of yourself because you want to please God, God's pleased. But if you want to take care of yourself because you're so hot and you don't want to lose that, you walk in the bathroom in the morning and sound like Barry White talking to yourself. Oh yeah. Somebody's looking good. That is how, I'm telling you, they may not say it out loud like that. That's how guys I know look at themselves. Like, oh yeah. You are supposed to die to self. And then if you die to self, you will want to look at the things going on around you and you will be prepared to confront those things and you won't care whether people like you or not. That's why you might bear with them.
What's that mean?
That means that you're going to put up with it. You're going to put up with the false Jesuses and the false Gospels, and because you're not going to take a stand for the truth. Let's see if I can go back here. Because of the subtlety of the serpent, the way he beguiled Eve, your minds become corrupt. And when your mind becomes corrupt, you will then put up with the false Jesus, the false gospel. That's why you put up with it. Small s. Yeah, you got your spirit, and that's not talking about your spirit. If you're receiving another spirit, and it ain't got a capital S there, that's talking devils. And yes, and folks, I know that's not popular, I don't care. There are a lot of devil-possessed Christians right now.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that if you want to. But your body is not supposed to belong to you. But when you take it back, it belongs to you at that moment, in practical terms, even though you've been bought with a price. And there are people I know who have given their minds over to the devil. That's what possession means, folks. If you turn off your TV, it's not exorcist. When you see possession, it doesn't mean your head twirls and you vomit pea soup. When you're possessed, it means you have given your body over to the possession of another. And it does happen to Christians. And I'll tell you why. One of the reasons is because they've been lied to and told it can't happen. So they don't think it can happen to them.
Exactly.
And that's how subtle Satan is. Amen.
Amen.
Boy, we're going to have to do a study on that, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're going to close with this. The Vatican cult presents a false unity. Oh, I don't want to jump there yet. Remember what we looked at just a couple weeks ago? Kenneth Copeland?
Yes.
The Pope with the little message. Well, this is how fast this stuff is going. I mean, I didn't expect this to happen for months.
Dobbiamo pregare fra noi cattolici e anche con i cristiani, pregare perché il Signore ci dia l'unità, l'unità fra noi.
Andiamo sulla strada delle divisioni.
He's preaching to the Catholics.
No, tutti uniti,
unify.
Tutti uniti con le nostre differenze, ma uniti, uniti sempre, che quella è la strada di Gesù.
In light of his call for Christian unity, the Pope said that very morning he met with an evangelical pastor. They both prayed together, he said, precisely for Christian unity.
Now this is Pope John Paul II in Assisi in 1986, Benedict in 2011, all the world religions together. They had Muslims praying in the Vatican just 2 weeks ago. Kenneth Copeland. With the Pope. Didn't take him 2 weeks to get there. John Robeson, Life Today. There's your TV show.
Diversity is divine.
Same
it's
guy.
Division that's diabolical.
Tony Palmer.
And we often, because of our insecurities, we are unable to handle and to hold in tension diversity. for us, we think that something different is something wrong. And it's not. It's just something not the same.
And God likes that, by the way.
Well, look at the creation. We see diversity all around us.
Absolutely.
Diversity is divine, without a doubt. It's the division that is diabolic.
Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." The unity comes in the kingdom, not the here and now.
And what's important for us to understand that Jesus' prayer in John 17, Jesus' theology is that if God is in you, and you're in God, and God is in me, and I'm in God, we are one together.
Absolutely.
In God.
Absolutely.
So I'm not See, the
one,
I'm not kernel of
you,
truth to
I'm
that.
I'm united to you in Christ.
The problem is, Jesus prayed, "Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." You have to be saved first. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God."
And this is the hope of glory. Jesus prayed.
That's the source of unity.
Given me. I have given them. What is the glory? The glory, Paul, Peter, it was Paul who wrote. He said that the glory, the hope of glory, is Christ in us.
Absolutely.
And so we need to recognize this and be... and.
"For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and his Father's and the holy angels."
Unity already exists. It's a scriptural fact. Our sin is that we don't make our unity visible because we allow our diversities to divide us.
Look what the Bible says, divisions and offenses are caused when they teach things contrary to the doctrine which you have learned.
Please, let's note what Pope Francis did here. Pope Francis, he said we need two things, two rules. Love God first and foremost with all our heart, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor like ourselves. And people are getting angry about this because they're saying, "Well, what about the doctrine?" But that is doctrine. That's Jesus' doctrine. Because when the lawyer asked Jesus, "What must I do to have eternal life?" Jesus said, "But you're the lawyer. What does the law say?" And the lawyer said, "To love God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus responded, "Do this and live." End of doctrine.
He said, end of doctrine. He said, end of doctrine. That was before the cross. This is what it's leading to right here. "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." He's preaching a gospel-less, bloodless, cross-less unity. How far would Rome go? Now this is just kind of, this is funny, but it's true. This is fact. See, I didn't make this up. Pope Francis says he'd baptize Martians if they asked. It's funny, but that's how he does not care what you believe as long as you'll come under the umbrella and be under him. Now, you have got to be solid in the gospel yourself. You have got to be solid on what you believe. Don't go out there and try to tackle this stuff. This is Satan's big game here, folks. And if you go out and try to tackle that stuff without knowing your stuff, he's going to take you down. As a matter of fact, that's what I've seen a lot of people do, is they get into this stuff, but they're not solid. They end up getting sucked in. And that's what I just want to warn everybody. We are in the day of great deception. And we're going to see more and more churches, more and more of our family and friends going into this. There's a spirit. It's not intellectual. And there's a lot of people who think it's intellectual, and that's why they're getting caught up in it. They think if they think the right things, they're all right. You've got to be born again. You've got to be in the Spirit. You have to walk in the Spirit.